You know, we help them with counseling and food and school and everything, but I would say 99% of the girls that come through our home give their hearts to Jesus and go home and tell their families about it.
Hey City Point, welcome to the second of our Faith, Love, Hope podcasts. In our first one, we got to chat to our global senior pastor, Mark, around the advancement of the church. And in this podcast, we have the honor of having our global senior pastor, Pastor Lee, with us.
Yeah, good to be here.
And as we talk Faith, Love, Hope today, we want to talk around It's Not Okay projects. Mm-hmm. And this whole thing has always scared me a little bit.
Right.
So I've never been to Cambodia.
You'll have to come. I tell you what, you come and you do a men's bike session.
Okay, sounds good.
Raise money.
We can manage that.
Yeah, a lot of people do that. It's really cool.
And one of the reasons that I'm always scared of going is that everyone that comes back from there, their heart is broken.
Yeah.
And they come back a different person. They come back changed. And in our Western world,
there's
apparently this unseen need. Because over there, there's people's lives hurting. It doesn't really affect my life. But when you go over there, you can't avoid it. So, so what's the unseen need?
Well, I think the unseen need is what we have here is we have a government that has put things in place that can help children that might find themselves in similar scenarios.
Right.
We have a social worker system and we have a, you know, protect children system. They don't have that in Cambodia.
Yep.
And probably when I first got there 10, 12 years ago, you know, there's children sleeping in the street with no one with them, naked, hungry, begging, no one caring, or you would have little boys come up to you and ask if they could have sex with you if you'd pay them. And, you know, we don't have that going on here.
No.
And if you did, you have somewhere to go to report that and to help solve that. And so, you know, when we started over there, there was nowhere to go with that. And so, yeah, and that's still the same pretty much.
So how do you manage that? You see that.
Right,
and it's such a huge problem.
Mm-hmm.
How do you start? Like, where did this come from?
Well, it came from. Long story short, and I have spoken around this before about a girl in Noosa that was being kicked by her mum and hair being pulled by her mum, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to go help that child. And while I'm thinking that, I'm also thinking, oh, what if I help? She's going to try and put me in jail or call the police because I'm interfering. And I went, you know what? I'm going to help anyway. Long story short, I was able to help. And at that same time, there was a gentleman that had joined our church that was working in Thailand in the field of rescuing girls out of trafficking and out of brothels.
Yep.
He talked to me. He showed me pictures that were just horrific. And that sent me on a trajectory of I will speak up for children that can't speak for themselves. So I went to Thailand and I went to Cambodia. And Cambodia was very much obviously the right room.
Right.
And last night that I was there with Hillary – is this little girl came up, like, you buy a book. I'm like, no book. And I said, are you hungry? So hungry. We bought her some food. And then as she's eating, I'm showing her this piece of paper that says not to go with bad men. And as soon as she saw that I knew what she knew, she stopped eating and she said, my friend, 10, tonight, mother, father, sell, 2 men, you come help. Mm-hmm. You come find her. And so from that moment on, how can you, now that you know, why would you do nothing?
Yeah.
And so that sent us on that trajectory of, well, what can we actually do? We came here to see if this was real or if this was just a bunch of lies someone was telling us. And it was that really that we decided, well, to succumb to the enormity of this problem would be to fail the one child, but also to fail me, the one. Mm. Me knowing that I've seen and I've heard, why wouldn't I do something about that?
Well, I love that is your heart, because often I think a lot of people wouldn't have done anything. They would have come home, they would have erased it from their memory. And while all of us and other people in our church like me haven't been able to be there, because you are there, we have an avenue to do something about it.
Yeah.
And for me, it's probably easier to give financially to it than to actually experience the heartbreak myself, although I do want to go.
And no, look. Without doubt, we have people that give because they cannot go because the pain for them is too great. It either resembles something in their own life that they've been through or it just is too much for them, and so they want to be a part by giving.
Yeah.
And giving is a big part of being a part. We've still got to pay to feed children.
Yep.
We still have to pay to have a counsellor and a social worker, house mums, Yeah. So
yeah, it's not a cheap thing.
No, it is not cheap. And not everyone will go.
Yeah.
I would never have thought I would have gone. But, you know, I guess I just said yes when I was asked by Jesus. And
it's such a phenomenal ministry. And
it is.
It's grown from there and things that keep moving forward. COVID has affected it as well.
Yeah, I think COVID has affected every missions all over the world without a doubt.
Yeah.
Statistically, that would be true. But that doesn't mean that we don't all keep moving forward. And that's what we're doing. We're holding fast and we've still taking care of the girls that are in our care and the girls that are in community care. We'll just, as soon as we're allowed back over to Cambodia, we will go.
I know so many ministries, not even in places like that, but even in the US, have closed down during this time because they just couldn't sustain what they'd built up until this point. And so one thing I love about Faith, Love, Hope as it's coming up on June 6th is this is one of the things that we do give to financially and people give to the foundation, and it goes to this, that even in this hard time, because it's not just a ministry, it's individual lives,
and it's actually part of City Point.
Yeah.
It was birthed out of the heart of City Point.
Yep.
And so I feel like as much as I'm responsible to take care of the gift of taking care of children that he's asked me to, I feel that City Point, that is part of our responsibility as well, to make sure that what he has asked us to do in the world, that we remain true to that and committed to that. And, our church has been fantastic right from the beginning.
And I think it really does meet our full vision statement, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. To unmistakably influence the world for good in those girls' lives and for God. So it really does.
You know, we help them with counselling and food and school and everything. But I would say 99% of the girls that come through our home give their hearts to Jesus. Yeah, and then they go home and tell their families about it.
Yeah. You can't put a dollar price on that.
No, you cannot.
It's amazing.
And they will say to us that Jesus is what's helping me get better. Jesus is what's, you know, healing my heart.
Yeah.
And,
What changes have you seen in the, the Cambodian landscape? Has your home there made a difference in the neighbourhood, or what are some trends even of Cambodia that you're fighting against?
I wouldn't think that it's made a difference in our neighbourhood because you don't really know that we're in the neighbourhood.
Right.
And so I think with young girls becoming teenagers, becoming adults, becoming mums, that they have a different perspective of how they can do their life.
Yep.
Even though what has happened to them doesn't have to be who they are.
Yeah, great.
And so I think that's where we see the difference. And back in their communities, in the provinces, or when they start having families of their own, that they are more stable people for that.
So it's not even just changing one girl's life, really. Mm-mm. You're changing a generation, a family line.
And a family line.
So you're breaking generational curses.
Absolutely. And honestly, grandmas that are the carers of these girls when they go back, because they don't always go back to the mum or the dad, because the mum or the dad might have been the perpetrator.
Sure.
Or the uncle next door. So it's grandma that says, I'll move with them to a different community to make sure that her life moves forward. So it's fascinating. It's complicated. It's tricky. It's nothing easy about it. It will be interesting to see what Cambodia is like when we go back.
Absolutely.
All the tourism and Westerners have left Cambodia. All the activity that used to happen down on the riverfront where the restaurants were, it's all quiet. There's nobody there. So, there's a lot of people not doing well over there, sadly.
Yeah, I think the ripple effect of what is in these girls' lives and the people affected by this will be far wider than
wider, absolutely.
And to break family dysfunction, like poverty through one family with changing one girl's life, you can break that, abuse, all those kind of things. I love that this breaks the whole cycle of dysfunction in families. So it's incredible what we get to.
And God has not forgotten them, and neither have we.
Yeah.
I think City Point just needs to remember that you are a part of these girls' lives, and they thank you and we thank you.
How do you carry that tension within yourself? Because in this world, sometimes to hurt, it's easy to not hurt and not care than it is to hurt and care and have to deal with it. How do you, personally within yourself, how do you carry that hurt for the girls so that you do care, but then you're so distant from them, so you're kind of walking that tension?
Well, I think part of the, if you can call it a problem, is that when you leave Cambodia and you come back here, you find yourself in a very comfortable city, in a very comfortable state and nation. And it's not forgetting that not everybody lives like we do.
Yeah.
And so it's remembering and reminding myself and going back to the stories that I know of the girls that have either been in the home or are in the home right now. And then, of course, every time you go back, it's like, oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's a reminder again. But I think it's like my own children. You know, they live in all parts of the world now. That doesn't mean I forget about them. And sure, I have feeling towards them and I have emotion towards them and memories. It's the same.
Yeah.
I feel like God gave me the girls of Cambodia that he's put in our hand to take care of.
Mm.
And so they are mine to remember.
Yeah. Remember when I first came to City Point, actually, I was so proud of my church at being a part of this. Because everywhere you read through the Bible, God associates himself not with like the people who are killing it, but with the marginalized and the poor and the broken.
Yes.
And so he'd be himself, what you do for the least of these, you do for me. So I think it's such a great act of worship.
Yeah.
I remember coming into this place being like, I'm so proud of our church that we don't just build a big building and a great service on Sunday, but we actually reach out to
bigger
the people
than that.
Who God would associate himself with.
Yeah. And I think just that sense too of just knowing that when God's asked you specifically to do something, that you look at it and you respond. And for me, I said yes. I chose to say yes.
Yeah.
Did I really know what I was really getting into? Probably not, but I knew it was big. But I would strip it.